This is the smell of a warm 3-day-old egg salad sandwich in a wimpy trash bag.
Wimpy, wimpy, wimpy!
Blech! And this is the smell of that same sandwich in a hefty, ultra-strong trash bag with new Fabuloso lemon scent.
Hefty, hefty, hefty!
Smell the difference? When life gives you stinky, get Hefty Ultra Strong with new Fabuloso lemon scent. It smells like clean, freshly picked lemons. So no matter what's inside your trash, you can stop the stink and smell the lemon.
Hello, everyone, and good morning. Welcome to our Big Brother 19 live feed update for August 30th. I'm your host, Taryn Armstrong, and today I've got a great guest. It's Pooya. How you doing, Pooya?
I'm good, Taryn. Thanks for asking. I promise I won't raise my voice at you, dog. I promise.
It's good to know. I don't like raised voices. We are here to tell you everything that happened on the feeds yesterday. And oh boy, it just keeps on going. It was a day full of hating old men, yelling at old men, and calling them old. That was the day. So we start off the day with Kevin and Jason doing their walk. Kevin trying to tell Jason, dude, I'm loyal. I don't understand why everyone's turning on me right now. I don't understand, Alex. Like, I've got your back. It's all good. We should all be good. Why aren't we all good, Pooya?
We're not good because this has kind of been the MO of the season. And it just so happens we're starting to get to that point in the game now where they're grasping at straws and they're going after the ones we love. It's Kevin, the most cordial, the most nice, the most adorable man to step into those doors and play this game. And everyone's just shitting on him. And it roots from many things. It's just been the way the season's been set up. Well, we've talked about before how the backdoor thing this year has been very prominent, and it stems from Cody setting it all off right off the bat with trying to put up Paul. So that's kind of been a function of the game. But then also picking a target, making them the target, and just dumping everything you have on them, rage and all, that's also been the MO. And it just so happens we're getting to a point now where there's not really solid evidence for anyone to behave this way, but we are. I'm going to stop right now until we get to Alex.
Yeah. So we do then have a conversation with Alex and Jason where Alex is basically talking about how terrible a human being Kevin is. What a monster. She says some her own choice words. She was like, he has like the charm of a serial killer or something along those lines. Probably not even that clever. And then something along the lines of like he's like a pedophile because he chooses the kinds of like pedophiles choose the kinds of children that won't say anything. And that's what Kevin does in the house. I don't know about this, Alex. I don't know about this.
Yeah. Calling him a predator, saying he has the mannerisms of a murderer, saying that he coddles and conditions you, like getting these kind of like lessons from Alex of all people is already unsettling, and then talking about Kevin in this light also very unsettling. And here's my biggest qualm with let's put everything aside. The fact of the matter is Tiger is a nickname that Kevin has for his daughters, and you have been blessed with this nickname in the house, and you're just ragging on this guy. I cannot stand that. I can't stand for it. I can't sit for it. I just can't. Alex is very unsettling. And believe me when I say I don't want to come on here and just rage on somebody. But the fact of the matter is, I don't think I've ever felt this way about a house guest before.
Yeah, I mean, I'm usually the first person to point out, you know, this is the Big Brother game. This is what happens all the time. People get ganged up on. It's something that happens, but it has been particularly vicious, I think, with Alex here, and we'll get into more of it later. But man, You know, she's talking with Jason. She's saying these things. Jason's like, is there any chance that this Final Four deal with Kevin is going to go through at this point? She's like, no way. Man, I'm sorry. I guess I should have just put him up. Christmas comes in and joins in on the Kevin bashing. Makes sure to reinforce that, like, hey, you guys should throw the HOH to me because I'm going to take Kevin out for you. And then Paul comes in and joins in on the Kevin bashing. Alex wants to tell Kevin, your skin is leathery and you look old, old man.
Yeah, she wants to spin it and say, oh, it's just she's worried about you, man. She's worried about you because you remind her of her grandfather who had Alzheimer's and was your age. And she's just concerned. It's like, don't do that. Yeah, I don't know, Taryn. I don't know. I don't know what can be said about her because she's wanted since the morning to essentially rile him up. She was initially talking about doing so right after the HOH and blowing him up and getting him to explode. And it just kind of, as the day went along, they just kind of forgot about that and just started doing it anyways. And it's just been a bashing party since the day has began.
So. Yeah, I feel like the current plan is that they're going to get Alex to throw HOH to either Christmas or Josh. That was the plan. Christmas is there to bash Kevin in order to reinforce the idea that she's going to be targeting Kevin next week, even though she's not. And so the plan is that Christmas or Josh will win, and then they're going to nominate Alex and Jason and take Jason out. I really want like Jason to win the veto and for Alex to go home, like for Alex to throw the HOH and then with the idea that Christmas or Josh is going to nominate or get rid of Kevin, just like she and Jason were supposed to, and then go home the following week. I really want it to be Alex. I feel like she deserves it more than Jason. I feel like I'm not often like karmically inspired when it comes to Big Brother, but I really want her to throw that HOH and then go home that week.
I couldn't agree more. And it's not like I am a fan of Jason more so. It just so happens that I hate one more than the other. My biggest worry, Taryn, and I know that Paul's done a really good job of setting it up so that this tree is stupid and no one's going to go after it. I just hope they're able to keep it together until that point, because I swear over this weekend, if we get it so that one of them decides to go on this tree and pulls the two veto thing, and now two vetoes are unleashed, yikes. Mm. I hope this tightrope continues to go smoothly for now. I really do.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be, you know, people have already called the temptation tree one of the most underwhelming twists. And if that's what happens, like it causes Alex and Jason to both stay in the house and then they both beast their way to the end of the game.
Please, oh, man. Please don't do this. We don't need this. We don't need this.
All right. So then we have Kevin talking to Matt, and this is an important conversation during the day. Kevin denies the fact that he was one of the votes to evict Matt. He says, it wasn't me, I swear. Matt pretty much believes him at this point. He's pretty convinced it was Alex. He also decides to tell him about the $25,000, and interestingly denies that he told Josh this. He's like, I don't know why Josh thinks that he knows that I took it, because I didn't tell Josh. Meanwhile, Josh is saying that the only reason he took the golden apple in the HOH competition, the first HOH competition, was because he knew Kevin took the $25,000 and was going to throw the competition. Therefore, he might as well take the safety since they weren't going to win anyway. And so it's kind of gotten weird because Kevin later talks to Josh and says, no, I didn't tell you. You told me you think you had it. I don't know why you think I told you. So I don't know. Now, how are we supposed to know? Because this is something we didn't know for a really long time. We were like, wow, Josh kept this from us. But maybe he was mistaken. Maybe he lied about it. I don't know. I don't know what happened now.
I don't know. I mean, it could have been a misinterpretation of conversation for all we know. It sounds like he got to the conclusion through, I don't know what kind of mind space, but Kevin is pretty convinced that he did not tell him. And as you said, like later on in the night, they do end up having a conversation about just that. And I was confused. just hearing it and then reading it later for some clarity, I was like, I am not really sure what exactly you mean, Kevin. I don't know what Josh is saying. All I know is that Josh knew, Kevin may not have told him, and now Kevin was talking about it with Matt earlier.
Yeah, I mean, this is the ear thing all over again, the cat ears. It's just like, what happened? What happened in that first week? We'll never know. Yeah, Nikki says maybe he hinted at it, and so he feels like he didn't tell Josh, but then Josh kind of picked up on it and thought he knew, and I don't know. Who knows? So Kevin is talking to Matt here. He denies telling Josh about this. He's also playing up his game. Like, people think I don't know what I'm doing, but I know what I'm doing. I've known what I was doing the whole game. Make sure you go into the jury and tell people that is basically the gist of this. It's a pretty decent conversation with Matt. Matt's treating him pretty amicably at this point, because he hasn't been infected with like anti-Kevin stuff yet today. He needs to get his vaccine, which he will get later.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. I mean, and we'll take a second until we talk about Matt and Kevin having the conversation once again. And amazingly enough, it's the complete opposite of what we had earlier.
All right. So Jason and Josh are talking about Kevin. Jason, they're basically like, we kind of like Kevin, but we can't really protect him anymore. They also feel like Alex is being too hard on Kevin. They don't really like that. But they feel like, you know, what are we going to do? We can't really protect him anymore. Josh obviously lying to Jason in this position. Josh planning on protecting Kevin and going after Jason, but Jason feels like, oh man, what can I do? Poor Kevin, he's being targeted. Meanwhile, Jason is being targeted.
Jason has said earlier that he was talking about it with Kevin, and he talks about it with Alex. How if Kevin goes after Alex, he's gonna break that tie by like he's with Alex. He is clearly with Alex, and the narrative right now, I mean, we've got all these pairs and Kevin is clearly man on the outs. So it's pretty much group speak. But because Alex is banging the drum so hard, they kind of have no choice but to go along with it. It's not like if Kevin's banging the drums as loud, he's going to get them against Alex. It's not going to happen just because Alex has more of the solid connections in the house. So they have no choice, and I think Josh is doing a good job of it. Christmas is doing a good job of it, of being able to sell it to these two that they are definitively going after Kevin next. And the fact of the matter is, when you do that, you kind of have to show it, and you have to show it by engaging in these ridiculous conversations and bash sessions.
Yeah. Matt is talking to Paul. He tells him all about the conversation he had with Kevin. Paul reinforces the idea. Oh, no. You thought you had a good conversation with Kevin. That was him just trying to get your jury vote. Kevin is a bad person and you should think he's bad. And Matt is like, he is a bad person. I should think he's bad. So that sets up a later event in the day. Then we have Kevin talking with Paul. One of many conversations throughout the day where he's basically like, we're still good, right, Paul? Like, we're still on each other's side. Like, it doesn't seem like it, but you keep telling me we are. So yes. And Paul's like, yeah, we're good. He's trying to reinforce this idea. Like, dude, you don't stand a chance against Alex and Jason. If they're, you know, if you let them go to the end, they're gonna win this game. Paul's like, dude, I know, don't worry about it, like just chill, I got this covered. Which again is like
the choir.
Yeah, it's weird because like it's true, like Paul is planning on going after those people, but at the same time he's also leading the charge against Kevin. So it's again this sort of dichotomy where it's like two truths that are counteracting against each other. It's a weird situation. Then we have, oh God, Matt and Raven. They have a conversation. All right. So the other day, yesterday, I believe, Liana and I talked about Paul's ideal final three, which was Christmas and Raven, because if Raven wins, she'll take Paul. If Christmas somehow miraculously heals her foot and grows another one or something, and then she wins, she still probably takes Paul, and Paul wins in probably both of those scenarios. And so then we have the Matt and Raven talking, and Raven says, you know what my ideal final three is? Christmas and Paul, because I'll take Paul to the end. And Matt goes, yeah, you'd probably lose against him. And she goes, yeah, yep, yeah, probably. But I'll take him anyway. I couldn't do that to him. I couldn't backstab him. And Matt's like, ah, it's not really backstabbing. She's like, no, I couldn't do it. I'd take him. I'd take him anyway. And Matt's like, yeah, I agree. You should take him. You wouldn't be able to live with yourself.
And then she said, what? And then they're still talking about it. Oh, I'll probably lose to Christmas too. And it's just like, why? I mean, I'm okay with you losing. I'm very okay with you not winning this game. I'm very content with that, believe me. But use your mind. Use that little bit of brain cells you've got left. Use that little bit of blood flow you've preserved. And realize these things. And it's just amazing how they're able to feed off of each other like this and just come to a conclusion that's bad for both of them.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
I just... Like, she says she'll lose to Christmas, and Matt goes, no, you'd probably beat Christmas. She goes, yeah, but I still couldn't take her. Like, this is with her most trusted ally in the game. Like, she is legitimately planning on doing this. She says, you know, Paul is my friend. I can't do that to him. And Matt's like, you're right. The only reason you even got that far is because of Paul. You couldn't then turn around and stab him in the back and win the game. It's not like nobody's done that before, Steve Moses. Like, come on. Like, Steve, a semi-beloved winner of the game. Hey, he did that. Sure, Vanessa was mad, but Steve's $500,000 in the bank doesn't care.
Yeah, he can cry in his house. He can cry in his Mercedes. Like, he's fine. You'll be fine. It's a game. You guys call it a game. You guys get mad when fights happen, and you chalk it up to game. Then play the effing game. You think Paul's gonna like be salty about it? You saw him. You saw Nicole come in the beginning. She beat him. Is he salty? Did he not be cordial with her? Like, put two and two together, people. Nah, it's not the case.
And like in all these situations, like there have been a few situations, right, where somebody has taken somebody else to the end of the game. Almost for the most part, knowing they'll probably lose. You know, obviously we have Cody and Derek. They're best friends to this day, right? Like, they're still great friends. If Raven takes Paul to the final two, knowing she'll lose against him, and then does lose against him, I guarantee the first thing she sees when she comes out of the house is a compilation video of all the crap Paul has talked about her, and like, it's just going to be like, what did you just do? You just gave up $500,000 for this dude who's not like he does. He like by all accounts, barely even talks to Victor anymore. And that was his best bud in the house last year. You think he's going to be your best friend out of here? He got a whole segment where he was giving you looks like, who's this crazy person?
It's just delusions of grandeur. And we talked about it on Sunday about how she's going to have a rude awakening when she comes out for many other reasons. This is just another one to tab onto that. She pretty much, I think both her and Matt still believe that she is beloved in the house and everyone supports her and everyone wants to see her win and everyone wants to see her make it far. So that's just another thing to add on to that list of things that are going to blow her mind when she walks out. It's just, Taryn, help. Send help. This is ridiculous.
Yes, Izza in the chat says, Raven thinks she can win against anyone. I think that might be it. Like, if we're trying to psychoanalyze her, it was Matt that told her, Paul will probably beat you. And she said, yeah, you're right. Like, I don't want to argue with you. But I think in her mind, she thinks, yeah, but I'd still probably win because look how noble I am that I'm taking my best friend. I'm such a good-hearted person. I'm dying. Obviously, people will give me the money because I'm so good. Like, I can't go against my good nature and not take Paul. I'll do the right thing and I'll still win.
Good luck to you, Raven. Excited to see that dumpster fire of a speech happen.
Yeah. Worse than Woo. Worse than Woo. Okay, so then we have Matt talking about his Kevin conversation to Paul and Josh. And this is when we get another big sort of fight here. He's got his anti-Kevin vaccination of the day. He's fully anti-Kevin now. Kevin walks out. They pass by each other. Apparently, Kevin said something along the lines of like, are you talking about me? And Matt was like, whoa, stick this chest out. "Whoa, what's up, bro?"
And you threatening me again, dude?
Yeah.
Get the fuck out of here, dude. Come on, man.
He steps to him, and Kevin's like, "Dude, get out of my face." and then it escalates. It's getting heated. Then the feeds go down for like 2 hours.
Yeah, and we missed a lot. We missed a decent amount. We missed from what we've gathered, we've missed a fight or a confrontation between Alex, Matt, and Kevin. And Kevin has finally blown up is the takeaway from what we've missed.
Yeah, so the feeds come back, and Kevin is talking to Christmas, and Christmas is doing, again, great job one-on-one, Christmas. She's like, "Don't worry about it. Things are all good." Kevin is just like, "Can you please get people to stop yelling at me?" He's like, "Alex is such a bully." Apparently they had a huge fight while the feeds were down where Alex was screaming at him, calling him old, all that stuff. And Kevin wasn't a fan. He's like, I'm not scared of Alex. She's a bully. Alex was so proud of it too. She was just like, "Man, the feed watchers must have loved that one. They love when people yell at each other. Man, they're like all over this. Like, nah, the feeds are down actually."
Yeah, and then there's a conversation where Josh is saying, "I think this has been pretty intense this year. I think some pretty harsh things have been said." And Alex is like, "No, Alex." Get some 2020 hindsight, please, because my dear God, I don't know how she's proud of this. I mean, and we've talked about this. I know how you think, man. I know with you, it's always like it's a game. Things are part of the game. It's the mechanics. You know, everyone's an equal in there. But I mean, there's a part of me that's a little bit like, he's still like, for me personally, if I was in the house with like respect your elders a little bit, kind
of.
Yeah, you're saying
part of it.
Right, it's like he's not as like she's saying he's not that old. He's about the same age as my parents. It's like then picture him as your parents. Would you ever do this? I don't know. Why are you doing that? And like I remember when the whole thing was going on way earlier. One of the first arguments where then they decided to rattle, and Paul was in the kitchen, and Christmas was up on the stairs with her crutches going Rambo in the air. I remember being fine with all of them, but being really annoyed with Alex. Because I'm like, you're just being extra, and I don't appreciate it. And I feel like that extraness has just gotten to this level now where she thinks it's entertaining. Josh was someone who kind of made this a prominent thing where, like, being like this was entertaining. And with Josh, it kind of was. Some parts were icky. Some parts were not good. But with Alex, I just feel like from the beginning, I've just not been a fan of it, and I've just not enjoyed it. And now you're going after Kevin. And I mean, Kevin's a nice guy. I just can't get over this.
I mean, he's no Jack Owens, but he's like he's a sweet dude. Like he's devious. He's the mafia dude. But he's not. You know, he's no Alex, right? Like he's not nothing malicious as far as I can remember. He likes telling crude stories and inviting people to Thanksgiving and being nice to the people that are on the outs. Like there's not a whole. I mean, yes, he did reveal the Cody that has a daughter thing, which wasn't cool, but like again, that's game stuff. That's he's not like all that other stuff. I heard this before, and I wasn't like I heard this comparison before, and I was like, I don't know, can anybody really be as bad as Big Brother 11 Natalie? But I'm really feeling like Alex is the reincarnation of Natalie with a G. It's just it's no good. I'm not a fan.
No, I'm not. And again, it goes back to the fact that I never thought I'd feel this way about a house guest. I never thought that I, as someone who appreciates this game for the game and the strategy and would never take anything personal or like never look at it from a personal scope, I can't help but do that now. I really can't help but do that now. And I'm not a fan of what I'm seeing. So,
So again, hopefully, like I feel like we need some like Game of Thrones retribution next week. Alex goes home. I feel like that will take the majority of the meanness out of the house, and then maybe we can start to calm down in terms of like the outrage stuff. Because you know, this is never my favorite part of Big Brother. I like talking strategy. I don't like having to be like, oh, these people are so mean. But man, it really, really was frustrating yesterday. All right, so. Then we have Paul reiterating to Kevin and again, talking to Kevin again, making sure Kevin understands because, again, the feeds come back and it seems as though Alex's whole blow up with Kevin did have an effect where it encouraged people to go up to Kevin and be like, dude, don't worry. Like we see what Alex is doing. Like we're gunning for her. Like you're good. You need a little comfort. We're going to give it to you. So Paul is saying like, yeah, dude, she's totally a target. We're gunning for them like crazy. Kevin's like, okay, that makes me feel much better. Like I'm not by myself here. He doesn't need to be on the outs because he's not on the outs. He's in people's final four plans. He's only on the outs with Alex he's only on the outs with Jason because Jason thinks he's on the outs with everyone else. But if Jason knew that Kevin was actually in people's final four plans, he'd be like, oh, great. I'm good with Kevin again.
Exactly.
So they're giving him a little bit of like you know room to grasp onto and like you're good in this game, Kevin. Josh also makes sure to reinforce that. I was really happy with what Josh was doing in terms of like I got your back, Kevin. Like we got this. But then again, they had this like confusion where Kevin is saying like, no, you didn't. I didn't tell you. You told me that you thought you won. And then that like just frustrates Josh. And then he goes and tells everyone else. And it's just like, nah, Josh, you need this. You need Kevin in the jury house. I feel like Kevin will have some sway in the jury house. So you want him on your side.
Yeah. And I think just to quickly say, like recap what you were just saying. So I definitely think whatever Alex was saying when the feeds were down, got to a malicious point that none of them were comfortable with. It went too far because clearly, within post fees coming back, everyone is trying to do some damage control with Kevin. Everyone's trying to remind him that they're good. Christmas immediately says, I'm going to say this once. You're not alone. You're okay. Don't worry about it. Josh reiterates the same thing. Paul reiterates the same thing. Paul goes up to him while he's in bed and says, listen, I'm going to need you to calm down. Don't do it. Just lay here. Know that I'm working. Know that I'm putting in the works. Just don't worry about it. But then the conversation with Josh was a little interesting because, again, they had a miscommunication, misinterpretation. Josh is like, well, you should just have a conversation with her. And then Kevin's like, no, like, I am a soldier. I'm not going to stand down to anyone. This is on her, not on me. And then Josh goes, well, like, just try and have a conversation. It's like, and it's amazing to see, like, Josh try to be the voice of reason here. But Kevin's had enough. He's in bed, and I love the one thing I really loved reading last night is Paul goes up to Kevin and goes, I'm gonna need you to calm down. And Kevin's like, Paul, I'm reading the effing Bible.
Yeah. What more do you want me to do? I'm doing nothing. It's literally, it's like, it's, you know how like when you're frustrated, the most frustrating thing somebody can tell you is like, calm down, like stop being frustrated. It's like, I am calm. I'm calm. Dude, calm down.
Worst thing you can hear.
I'm just sitting here reading the Bible, not doing anything. It's okay.
Good.
I really feel like my conversation with John about the psychology stuff and especially the Stanford prison experiment, I really feel like it's relevant here. It's just like Paul was the... like the prison warden, and he gave Alex all of this power. He gave all of them all of this power until, and like, you know, just was like, go bananas, do whatever you want. And, you know, for some people like Josh, like they took it to a certain extreme, but then like held back in other areas. And then Alex is just somebody who's just like, has just completely lost herself and gone down this dark path. And this is the point in which, you know, they would have like shut down the prison experiment. Like, oh, Alex has gone too far. She is starting to dehumanize people and trying to tear them down psychologically. And this is exactly like, I feel like we're watching the experiment happen in front of our eyes in the form of Big Brother. And it's as interesting as it is, it's also like, it's time to shut it down. I don't need this anymore. Let's get Alex out of this house.
And so we've had a lot of comparisons drawn to the games of, well, not Derek and Kevin, Derek and Paul. And I feel like the differences there was that with Derek, the people around him seemingly were very okay with being hush about everything. They're very fine with kind of just letting the path go along, even though he's feeding this person this, he's feeding that to this person that, and getting them to go against each other. He was able to do it in a way where, like, none of them were feeling malicious about the other. None of them were getting angry about the other. And they were kind of just like, it was tame, is what I'm trying to get at here. With Paul, it's just so happened to be, and there's many factors that have gone into this. There's been a lot of angry people throughout the time here, and there's just been a lot of, oh, I sound like a Taryn, you took over. You took over. I sound.
It's the mic curse of Big Brother 19. It's back. I think if you just like bounce out and come back in, it might fix itself. But we're wrapping up soon anyway, so if it doesn't work, then we're fine. Yes. So yeah, I mean, this is where we are. This is now it's just me, and that's what happens. I'm all that's left, and I'm all you've got in the Big Brother house of Big Brother 19. There's Puya. How you doing, Puya?
I am your father. No, it's just me. Is it fine now? Does it work?
It's good. It's good.
All right, cool. Yeah, so I just think it's gotten to a point with Paul, the tightrope he's ran, I don't think he expected this to get the way it is. I don't think he thought that it would get this bad. But once you've started this, you kind of have to keep the ball rolling. And it's gone malicious. Alex has gone off the deep end. We've seen everyone else kind of go off the deep end, Alex more so than others. But that's just the mechanics of this season at this point. It cannot really be changed. We kind of just got to see it through. We kind of just got to truck through the next couple weeks and just put this behind us. And hopefully, and I'm saying this officially from now, hopefully Paul wins, so that we get that one thing that worked out. Because honestly, man, looking at the pool of people left, there's very little I want as anyone else being a winner, because I will probably not watch the season again if that happens.
John Densard asks, who has the best chance to win after Paul and then Josh? That's kind of a hard question. I feel like is it Christmas? Just because, like, if the jury is weird?
I want to say it's Christmas. I think it's Christmas. So, like, we're talking if they're sitting in the final two, right? Not just getting there, but winning if they're sitting right, yeah, there. Right. So I would say Christmas, then maybe Jason.
Yeah.
Maybe. Down. Yeah, if he makes it there. I would say Raven is definitely in the bottom. Matt's gone technically.
If they take Kevin to the final four, and then, you know, like, maybe he wins a comp or two, or maybe like he's somehow the better choice to take down to the final two, maybe then they're not gonna take him to final two, but maybe if he wins a comp or two, he can win the game.
I think Paul, Josh, Christmas would be my three that I think would have the best odds sitting at the end against most people.
Yeah, which is crazy. I really do have a hard time seeing Christmas win. I think, like, we'd have to see Raven, like, winning the final HOH competition and then cutting Paul and taking Christmas, and then maybe Christmas probably wins over Raven. Or maybe Josh takes Christmas to the end if Josh and Christmas end up there in the final three, and then, mm-hmm, like I said, the jury's a little weird and they end up choosing Christmas over Josh. I do think Josh wins there, but it's not, mm-hmm, certainly not a guarantee. So yeah.
I feel really good about Christmas's interactions. I feel like her social game has been pretty on point Her one-on-one conversations, I've liked what I've seen from them. But I guess the fact of the matter is, with a final three, HOH, with it being so physically inclined the first two rounds, you'd have to get to round three for her to have a shot. So it does leave it to the to who would take her. So if Josh is there at the end with her, her odds are a lot better to make it to the end. But then it's just going to get interesting of like, what does the jury see as valuable? Who are they going to respect more, and so on. So her road to get to the end, rough. The two people that would probably take her to the end, Josh and Paul, she might have a hard time beating. If somehow, somewhere down the road, she's in the final three with other people, not those two that take her to final two, I could see Christmas winning. I think she's a good speaker, and I think she would be able to parlay her game into a win at the final two speeches, especially with the likes of Raven or Alex or Jason. Yes.
Yeah, Leanne says that would be a horrible final two, Raven and Alex. This is the fact that that's possible. I think, you know, we talk about the veil that Brent pulled out after the brothers won season four, Big Brother Canada. I feel like he would just go full, dressed in black, veil. I don't know. Maybe he wouldn't even go to the podcast. Maybe he'd be busy at like a funeral somewhere. A funeral for Big Brother.
That is the darkest timeline. We want none of that.
So yeah, there we go. Yeah. So like I said, let's just hope that that karma strikes Alex here. But it's looking more and more like it's probably going to be Jason. I think Alex will probably throw this HOH. Jason will probably go home. The chances of him beating both Paul and Alex in a veto competition, not super likely. So it'll probably be Jason next, and we'll have to deal with Alex a little bit longer. But that's where we are right now. As always, we'll be here. We'll be here for you. As your therapy people. If we were on Survivor this season, we would be healers. We're healing your Big Brother 19 wounds. We'll be here tomorrow at 10 a.m. Eastern to update you on everything that's happening on the feeds. We'll be live tonight. I believe we got Randy Bailey for tonight's recap.
What?
From Survivor. Yes. Nice. I believe I will be on that one tonight to recap the veto episode. Some fireworks are going to be there for sure. Or actually, wait, no, that happens after the veto, doesn't it? Ah, that's lame.
Yeah.
No, it's still going to be a good episode. You should totally watch and do the recap. And then tomorrow we will be recapping the live eviction, of course. And make sure you check out the Taryn Show. I talked to Melissa Denny. We had a really, really, really fun conversation. She was very, very gracious and opened up about lots of things. And you really get to know who Melissa is. I tweeted this out, but I'm pretty sure we forgot we were recording like multiple times in the conversation. we went off into like tangents. I'd be like, oh, wait. We're supposed to be doing something here because she's just so great. So check it out. That's what we've got for you. Check us out on Twitter. I'm at Armstrong Taryn. Puya is at Puyaism. Puya, very funny on Twitter. Make sure you check him out. No Nicole tonight. We got Randy instead. So thank you guys for joining us. We will see you next time.
This episode is made possible by PwC. A robot may not be coming for your job, but competitors are coming for your market share. At PwC, we pair the right tech with the right solutions to help you gain a competitive edge. Reimagine operations from the cloud, fuel innovation with responsible AI, and detect risks before they become headlines. That's human-led and tech-powered. It's all part of the new equation. Learn more at thenewequation.com.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.